Last orders at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales. These are the adventures of The Rookies, a curated actual play of the tabletop role-playing game Masks, a New Generation from Magpie Publishing. Previously on Tavern Tales, the group has been shunned by Terry, but they have an address to investigate from Jeb.
Come sit down and drink with the enemy, raise a glass and toast to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So
did you just learn something that would help you make sense of the world there, Xpay?
That's what I'm trying to figure out what I would put it under.
You learned you're in a relationship?
Oh, yeah. I'm in a relationship with Terry.
Is that a lesson of the world?
Apparently, everyone's in a relationship with Terry, so I'd say that is a worldly...
So she learned it badly. She learned a lesson poorly.
I did specify it was a friendship.
Always unlock the door when it's locked.
Oh, he's unlocked the door of friendship.
Do you have a never one?
No, I don't have any. I have none right now because I got cleared.
So you could do never lock the door to friendship.
Aww.
Gross.
Aww. I'm just offering. Yeah, you don't have to take that one.
I liked that one.
Yeah.
Did we decide we're going to go get Terry at the... Yeah, let's go get Terry.
On the way to the warehouse?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, if he wants to come,
agreed.
That's up to him.
Who drives a car?
I guess we're taking the bus?
Yeah. Taking the bus.
We always take the bus anyways, right?
I know.
School, so.
Yeah. All right, X-Bay, we're going to go
take
the bus.
It's 2:00 in the goddamn morning, you guys.
It is?
There is no buses.
There's like no buses.
4 or so in the morning, you know.
Oh.
Remember, it's middle of the night. Terry's out there trying to break into a Ramada.
Oh, yeah. I guess it wouldn't be during the day.
I forgot about that.
He did such a bad job. I assumed it's like
middle of the day.
Well, maybe
the cover of this.
Maybe
we
should get some sleep first.
Yeah, maybe we should go to bed, have a nice breakfast, and then go on our daily stroll.
Breakfast is the most important meal of the day, X-Pay.
Yeah. That's actually a really good point.
All right, there's a panel. It says later.
Yes.
Yep.
So I have chosen a move called Bring the Team Together. You don't have to worry about bus schedules. That's not what this podcast or game is about. Later, the four of you are standing on a street. Oh, look, Terry's with the group again. Let's just pretend that Terry has walked up, having finally gotten the message that the group is getting together, and everyone has an unhappy look on their face, looking at Terry, and off to the side, you can see the address of the location that they're all going to is on a street corner, and you can see the streets there, except it doesn't say warehouse. It says the Tot Stop.
Adora cracks her knuckles harshly and just glares across the group at Terry as he approaches.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Terry, I am very disappointed in your behavior.
What? What are you talking about?
Yeah, man, you suck.
You do suck.
Like, he just learned something new. That should have been X-Pay's line.
No, I just realized this is the best insult for Terry. You're a sucker. That's what you are. I'm going to call you that from now on.
Did I miss something?
No, but we definitely saw something, Terry.
you know, we're supposed to go investigate this warehouse, but maybe you want to do it on your own, since we'll just be in your way.
What do you mean on my own? What are you even talking about?
I don't know much in this world, but I know that you've been a bad friend.
I am very confused. What are you guys talking about?
Your television debut.
I wasn't on TV.
The heck you weren't.
You're right, you weren't standing on the TV. You were inside the TV box, stupid.
Wait, when was I on the TV?
I don't know, it was like 4 a.m. and you were fighting somebody
at, shit.
At a Ramada Inn. Come on. At a Ramada Inn?
Yeah, that's where Alejandro's staying.
Sorry. We could have fought on national television. Do you understand?
I didn't know it was on TV. And I might have said some things that I didn't mean because I might have been angry. I don't really remember all that I said because I was caught up in the moment.
I want a panel where just George like rolls his eyes. Or just a group of us just eye roll.
Eye roll.
Well, you can come in with us, but you might want to hang back so we don't step on your toes.
All right, I guess.
Terry, you just see the panel of him like slowly stepping back behind the group and kind of following behind them as they go in.
Wow. Okay. You've chosen to accept their recriminations.
Censure.
Yeah.
Grr.
Cool. Did telling Terry off make any of you feel better?
It made me feel better. Can I get rid of my angry?
You tell me.
Because I hurt someone.
Did you?
I'm pretty sure I hurt Terry.
Well, then you needed to make Terry roll something.
Oh. I forgot about the rolly thing.
I'm feeling guilty right now. Still. And yep. Hopeless.
Yeah.
And angry.
Nothing has been cleared for you. Everyone's been mean to you.
No, so. We all been really mean, and I was extra mean, I feel like.
Yeah. So if you're being extra mean, what are you doing to Terry?
I am hurting you.
How are you hurting Terry?
Emotionally.
What are you telling Terry that he actually is? He's a bad friend.
He's a bad
always
friend.
Always trying to act on his own.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to.
I'm almost trying to make him feel like less a part of the group.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he's superior to the rest of us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So he has to roll for this?
Well, what are you lowering? That's the question.
Oh.
Which one of my things are you trying to lower?
I was looking at the list. Like, definitely a superior needs to go down. Because he's less... Like, I'm trying to make him feel bad about himself.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you making go up?
Oh, his danger needs to go up.
Can't go up no more.
Oh.
He's more of a danger and less superior?
Yeah.
All right. So can you put that into context? For when you roll your eyes and then you say...
You're not even that great anyways. Don't know why you think you can go on your own. Don't even have power.
That sounds like you're shifting my mundane up.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, yeah, it makes more sense.
Okay.
So superior down and mundane up.
Yeah. I am gonna let you shift my labels.
Darn tootin'.
And do you have influence over Terry?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
So I'm gonna say we start walking in, because that's kind of what the statement was. So we start walking into the tots thing.
Oh, no,
thing.
You're yelling at...
Oh, yeah.
The other two. Was this awkward or an enjoyable moment for you to bear witness to?
It was really awkward for me, because I think, like, X-Pay understands that Terry did something wrong, but doesn't fully understand the impact of it, because they're still learning. So this is very awkward for them to experience.
Okay, and?
I'm going to say it was enjoyable. But now Adora feels like she's the only one who's allowed to pick on Terry this way. And so she's going to step in and be like, I think we've done our worst.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. I see that there.
Yeah.
And what are you doing in regards to, are you confronting George?
Yeah. I think I'm going to like just try to in some ways comfort or support Terry. I don't know if I'm going to... Oh, no, I'm not going to be good at this at all.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. You step in the middle and you give George a big shove.
Oh. Yeah, I'm like, we got to get going on this thing. And Terry's gotten a tongue lashing enough.
And you're going to roll to comfort Terry?
Yeah.
Do you have influence over Terry?
I do.
Okay.
Oh, no. I got a 2. Because I'm a -2 on Monday. Because I do not come off as mundane at all.
No.
With my bulging muscles and general physique of awesomeness.
Cool. Yeah, I love this. George, roll to take a powerful blow.
Yeah, because it's going to hurt.
Because Adora doesn't just push you out of the way. Adora steps in and literally pushes you out into the street.
Oh, no.
Roll 2d6.
Okay.
Oh, 12. Why do I never roll good when I'm supposed to?
So that's like a 14 because you have still two conditions. So you choose one of those top three. You can remove yourself from the situation, flee, pass out. You can lose control of yourself or your powers in a terrible way, or you can choose two options from 7 to 9. Meanwhile, what are you doing, X-Pay, as you cross the street and have ignored this now escalating conflict behind you from your colleagues and allies? And
I think X-Pay is very confused as the situation has escalated.
Yeah, but you didn't see the escalation. Right? Adora's little piece there happened after you started across the street heading towards the location that Jeb has pointed out to you.
Right.
So what do you do?
I think I don't notice what's happening.
Yeah, you don't see any of that.
And
that's fine.
I just keep walking and I go to open the door to this building.
Sure, you open the door to the building.
And I walk inside.
Okay. All right, George, what'd you choose?
He's going to accidentally lose control of his powers when he reacts to Adora's being shoved because it hurts a lot because she's very powerful. So he instinctually is going to hit her back, like kind of like a reflex.
Well, you lose control of yourself or your powers in a terrible way.
I figured that'd be pretty terrible.
You just got shoved into the street, George. So.
What is that?
That was Cars.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
As you speedster plowed through all of them.
There's this nice lady.
Oh, no.
She seems really lovely, like wearing a pencil skirt and a business suit. And she's pushing a really high end stroller.
No.
With what seems to be an innocent, like a little tiny tot in there. And Adora goes to push you and you hyper react from Adora, like, how could you, sort of thing. And you throw yourself backwards at almost supersonic speed, and you hit this poor lady, and you're standing there with your hand on the stroller, and this lady is now laying on the street 10 feet down from you, and her body is laid in a way that does not look like a normal body should be able to lay. There's a gasp, of course, from an onlooker, and a door opening. Adora and Terry, you both see George try to get away from Adora and just plow this lady, and it looks like George just broke her back.
This got dark.
Yeah, it did. George is gonna scream.
All right, George screams.
Like, he stays holding on to the stroller, but he's like frozen and doesn't know what to do. Like, cool. He looks back and forth and he's just stuck.
All right, there's a panel of George standing there.
Someone call 911.
Oh, but if she has a broken back, I was like, pick her up. No, don't do that. We're also teenagers, so I don't know how smart we'd be about that. I feel like fairly smart still.
How could you? Says a person across the street. You're a horrible person.
Right as that happens, I'm going to jump in front of George between him and the person and be like, hey, it was an accident. Someone call 911.
Oh, you want to defend your friend?
Yeah.
Go ahead, roll to defend.
13.
You've kept George safe here, and you choose one of those three things below.
I am going to add team to the pool, since I oh so selfishly took it from the pool.
Since nobody else seems to be calling 911, Adora's going to do the speed dial.
In a panicky, I don't know, it's all shaky sands. Hold this in reference to the stroller to get Terry to hold it in the hopes that he's going to rush over to the woman who's contorted. So as soon as Terry has the stroller, he doesn't know what to do, but he's just over there by the woman trying to be comforting or something, or like assess the situation.
Get away from her. You're the bad guy. You don't get to stand over your victim.
Like, George's
camera phones are out.
Oh, God. George is like working so hard to hold back tears and he is failing, so like tears start streaming down his face, and like he tries to say something, you can see like the starts of words come out, but they don't, like they're just letter, like
yeah, of course, right? And Terry's there defending you.
Yeah,
I'm gonna assess the situation then.
Sure. How do you do that? What are you currently doing?
I'm gonna go over to the lady to find out how bad everything is.
You go over to the lady. Roll to assess the situation.
12.
All right. What do you want to know?
I want to know what I can use here to help her, and how could we best end this quickly?
So how you could best end this quickly is 911 coming. And what here can you use to help the lady? Sure, I'll say there's an ambulance 2 blocks down the street.
I'm going
to
yell it again. Somebody call 911 and I'll try and get that ambulance. I see them. I'm going to try to flag them down.
The ambulance is parked 2 blocks down.
Yeah, I'll run down there.
Dora cries out, someone call.
Or actually, it's smarter to send George, right?
You're the one who assessed the situation.
Yeah. Okay, George, go get the ambulance. You just see a purple, or I guess whatever he's wearing black or whatever.
Cool, yeah, George, you're like 12 blocks down the street. You don't see an ambulance.
I overshoot it?
You can roll to assess the situation.
Just a straight 11.
11's enough.
How could we best end this quickly?
You could leave.
Yeah. Aw. He's gonna run away.
Yeah, you have an 11. You get to ask 2 questions.
Oh. So what's the other one? Who here is the most vulnerable to me?
You are literally the most vulnerable person to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
All of these pedestrians who are now angry with you are all vulnerable to you. You could stop this by taking all their phones.
That's tempting. I think George's going to do that.
Okay, roll to unleash your powers.
Yeah. Go terribly wrong.
We are
going to
get sued so bad.
So bad. Oh, yeah. Now I get the... why am I rolling good today? So 11.
11 is tons.
Yeah.
You've totally done it. So George doesn't go get the ambulance.
Mm-mm.
There is a blur of purple around the street, and you've collected... Roll 2d6. You have taken 11 phones from all these people who are all shocked and appalled and standing there. What do you do? If you ever thought your friend had the potentiality of becoming a bad guy, this seems to be that moment. So, George, you have 11 phones in your hand. Mm-hmm. Your teammate's looking at you with what sort of expressions?
Shocked.
Confusion, because I told him to go get the ambulance and he's not doing that.
No, he definitely did not do
that.
And X-Pay... you walk into a daycare.
Oh, that's so fun. Are there kids in it?
Absolutely.
You know what? I think this is X-Pay's first interaction with like a multitude of children.
Yeah, I'm going to say there's like 18 plus kids in this facility, a bunch of adults in there, the giant playroom. It is all the bright main, literally the Google colors.
So X-Pay is going to look around in excitement to see all of these little tiny people. They are going to look at one of the people who looks like they would be an adult and say, is this where you grow your children?
Aww.
Picking up or dropping off?
I'd like to pick them all up if I can.
Excuse me?
No, my name is X-Pay, not... excuse.
Oh, are you applying?
What would I be applying for?
The job?
Yeah, I think so. That actually sounds kind of good. I don't have one right now. I'm in school part-time, and I also do some superhero stuff, but I think
I'm not the one who... you can just have a seat.
That baby's so cute. It's just making so many sounds. Oh, she's so cute.
And Heather will be with you shortly.
Oh, wonderful. Where should I take a seat? Sorry, I missed it because the baby.
He points to... row of seats.
X-Pay goes and sits down. They're very excited for this opportunity. They forgot what else was going on.
There's a lot of commotion happening outside.
Man, with all this commotion, it's amazing how they take naps in here. I would assume the chairs are along the window wall.
Yeah, you're looking away from the windows at the moment.
So X-Pay will hear the commotion and turn and put their hands up against their forehead and try to peer out the window to see what is happening.
You immediately see George holding 11 phones, kind of standing like you would expect a super villain to stand, and there's a woman laying on the street looking very wounded, and Terry awkwardly holding a stroller.
Yeah, I don't do kids.
X-Pay's facial expression turns from excitement to confusion, and they yell to the adults saying, I'll have to come back for my interview later, sorry. And they run outside and they're like, what is happening? I thought you guys were following me. And they will assess the situation.
Sure.
7.
All right, that's enough to ask a question.
What here is the greatest danger?
George Grady.
Okay.
Is not in the greatest. He is the greatest danger.
Is the greatest danger.
Absolutely.
X-Pay will run over to George and say, George, what has happened? Why do you have a million phones in your hands? You can't use all of them at the same time. Why is there a lady laying on the ground? Why is nobody helping her? What have you done?
It was an accident. And he just drops the phones. Like a pile of phones on the ground.
They all break.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Well, one of them is a Samsung and it doesn't. But you know that it did. They say that it doesn't, but you know something inside it snapped.
Just like George.
Yeah. It's accurate.
You know something inside George broke. Since nobody is going to go get the ambulance, I'm going to go and run and get the ambulance.
Sure.
Yeah.
Run over to the ambulance. That's where you were, and that's why X-Pay didn't see you. So yeah. You're at the ambulance, and what do you... You see a paramedic
I'm like,
standing there.
There's a woman. She's been hurt. Help.
Where has she been hurt?
And I point down the street. She's looks like maybe a broken back or something.
Oh, no. She struck by a car?
Something fast for sure.
Oh, no. Is she breathing? He's asking these questions
check.
While he gets into the vehicle. He hits the horn on the ambulance, and another paramedic that was in the coffee shop comes running out, jumps into the passenger seat, and they drive down the two blocks towards the thing, and cars get out of the way as the ambulance pulls up. You hear cop sirens as well coming from the opposite way down the street, heading towards the group as well. What do you do?
I'm going to unleash my powers to beat the ambulance there.
Yay.
I'm going to take the woman's pulse because I forgot to do that earlier and try to
beat the ambulance there. You can assess the situation.
Sure.
You take the woman's pulse. It's faint. You're not really skilled at this sort of thing. You don't really know what you're doing.
But she's alive. Okay. I think she's alive.
Not sure if this is the rise of a group of supervillains or superheroes.
We're definitely turning into the rejects. Thanks, Terry.
Whoops.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say that you said that as you were leaning up from kneeling down at Terry after having previously failed to comfort Terry. You then, I feel like that's a provoke.
I can totally do that for you. And guess what? I get like so many pluses on provoking Terry.
Damn.
All right. You're going to roll to provoke Terry. Go ahead, roll.
Making people susceptible to my words.
Points of contact.
I'm an enabler. I'm going to tell him he needs to do something really stupid. We're actually the rejects, Terry.
And you have influence over Terry?
Plus two. I have a thing. If I convince him to do something stupid, rash or poorly thought out action, that would be a 12.
Oh my goodness.
Jeez.
All right. On a 10 plus, they rise to the bait and do what you want. What do you want them to do? And this is for PCs on a 10 plus. If they do, they're going to do the thing, and we're going to add a team to the pool, and they're going to mark a condition.
I'm going to say, Terry, you own all of this. You're the reason this happened.
What are you provoking him to do?
Blame himself for everything that happened.
All right. Wow. I mean, it also fits with the fact of his amazing, successful defense, too.
Yeah, I know. I'm being mean. I'm sorry.
We're all being really mean to Terry.
No, I mean, it makes sense. I was a dick.
So we're going to add a team to the pool.
This is all your fault, Terry.
I really don't like how provoke someone is worded, where it's like, for PCs on a 10 plus, both, if they do it, add a team to the pool. If they don't do it, they mark a condition. Well, it's like, you do it, we add a team to the pool, and you mark a condition. What condition are you going to mark, and what do you do?
I am going to mark insecure.
Yeah, okay, that would make sense.
Guys, I almost have all my conditions. This is not good.
Four conditions are now marked for poor Terry Chase as Terry steps forward and does what?
I am going to look at Bo. And I'm going to say, you're right. Grab George, X-Pay, and get out of here. I'll take care of this. So I'm going to go up to the cops.
All right, the cops get out of the car. They're walking forward. They're, you know, wearing their mirror sunglasses. Arrogant as all get out. Couple of short, close-cropped hairstyle white guys in their, like, early 30s. Guy throws his hand up at you when you're walking forward. He says, what?
It all happened so fast. I didn't see her. I think she's hurt.
What did you do to her?
I think she might have broke her back. I don't know. It was a mistake, man.
Some person off in the crowd starts to say something like, it wasn't the chase. It was the purple. But you shoot them a dirty look from your successful defense from before, and they immediately silence. Yeah, it was the chase. I saw everything. Cop is like, hands behind your back.
I do that.
Takes your sword from you.
I don't do that. I could clear a condition by running away right about now and having a cop chase happen. Apparently I'm a scoundrel. But yeah, no, I'm going to... No, they're going to take my sword and
they
I'm going to be...
They take your sword, they put you in cuffs and put you in the back of the vehicle.
Yeah.
Let me know if that helps clear any conditions for you.
I think it does, because I think that makes a sacrifice, right?
Yeah.
Make a sacrifice to absolve your guilt. One less from death. Or whatever it is that happens.
X-Pay. I'm going to use a move in this lull in this moment here And you see the woman laying there, twisted, contorted, laying in the street.
Yep.
These medics are tending to her. And you're like, I don't understand. My body can twist that way and it doesn't do anything to me. What is wrong with these not perfect people? And I'm going to remind you of your inherent alien nature and how you are not connected to humanity. What do you do?
I think it really impacts X-Pay, especially based on all of the tension and circumstances that have happened in the last, like the last hour, because they thought they were starting to fit in and they've now realized that they won't ever, or they think that they won't ever be able to fit in and be the same as everyone around them.
It sounds like I'm trying to shift your labels, actually. And I am saying you are less mundane and you are more...
Freaky!
Yeah, less mundane and more of a freak.
My freak is at max, so I pick a different one.
You would pick something else, yes. And you're going to accept that?
I am absolutely going to accept that. So I'll shift. Mundane is now all the way at the bottom.
Wow.
My danger will go up. Because I'm not the same, it makes me more dangerous to them.
Yeah. What do you do? How do you embody this change in your demeanor and attitude?
I think they have become almost sad, and they kind of back away from the situation because they don't understand how to help, because for themselves, they would just kind of pop up and be back to normal. And so they don't want to make the situation worse because they don't know what to do.
Yeah, our next panel has X-Pay back inside the Tot Stop sitting amongst a bunch of kids.
Ah, that's cute.
I want you to have a kid form. I don't know why.
Except when X-Pay goes in this time, like before they, when they entered, they were really excited at first seeing all of the children in life. And now they just kind of go sit on a chair. They slump down and they're just staring at the children. And it's even more so making them realize that they never had that and they've never been that.
Damn, are you shifting your labels again?
Existential dread.
I think so.
Because I had you like sitting in there contorted the wrong way and a bunch of kids are climbing all over you, but yours is even sadder and more depressing. Okay,
I think X-Pay's having like a huge like breakdown. Like every situation they go into just makes them realize they have not been part of that.
Yeah, okay. It's cool. I don't think we need to shift labels further. We've got even more evidence of this. You're just sitting there and it definitely looks like you're depressively waiting for an interview. Terry Chase is in the back of a police car. George Grady seems to have gotten away scot-free from any sort of piece. The other cop has come over and is taking statements. What do you do?
What's the dumbest thing Adora could do? Rip the door open of the cop car and chuck Terry like three blocks away. That's the dumbest thing she could do. Seems like a good idea.
Before you try to do anything, Adora, your mom calls.
Oh, no. Okay. I'll answer the phone.
Hey, hon. If you're out and about...
I'm kind of busy right now, Mom.
Do you think on your way back you could pick up some milk and some eggs? We're getting low.
Sure.
Is that sirens?
No. Just a movie. Gotta go, Mom. Bye. I'll get those eggs. Thanks. Bye. They hang up.
What? You get a text message. Why are you in that neighborhood?
I said it was a movie. Just a movie, Mom. Text real fast.
There's no movie theater on Postman and Lane.
Oh, right. My phone is tracked. Dang. We'll talk about this later. Thanks. Bye. Love you.
We will talk about it now. Why are you there?
Yo, gotta go. Mom, bye. Love you.
This is all in text. I know. So I don't get the tone.
I'm just going to stop replying and I'm going to go up to the cop and say all of this was an accident and not like to somebody doing this maliciously. That's all.
Doesn't matter. A person's hurt. People have to take accountability and responsibility for what they're doing. Want to get in the car too?
Maybe. No, I'm going to go and like knock on the window and be like, we'll figure this out, Terry.
Terry says nothing and hangs his head dejectedly in the car. His hands behind his back still. There are so many people looking now at what's going on the street as the ambulance is like stretchering, pulling in the injured woman. The bassinet, the beautiful, expensive, valuable, high-end stroller is now alone on the street. Oh. Perfect shot of our heroes completely ignoring anything heroic.
I'm going to yell back through the window.
Go look after the team. Get them out of here.
Okay. I'm going to go grab George and say, George, we gotta leave.
George is just standing around a big pile of
cell phones. I don't know where XP went, so.
Hi, I'm Heather. You're here for the job?
I don't think I'm cut out for this job. I'm not like everyone here, and I think I'd just do more harm than good.
Well, that is the worst thing I've ever heard a candidate say at the start of an interview. Do you want to continue or no?
I don't think so. I'm sorry for wasting your time. I'm sure you'll get a great candidate besides me. You hear like their voice cracking a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I want to say thanks for... Are you okay?
I don't know if you've noticed, but my skin is silver. I'm not a human, and I just can't relate to what these little children are going through, and so I don't know how I'd be able to help them and protect them and help them grow into a big adult when I'm not one myself.
She looks at you without saying anything for a long moment. That's very astute. Sometimes I feel that way too.
Really?
I mean, who doesn't? The fact that you have the courage and the foresight to recognize that you yourself don't know everything, that's an important lesson to know.
Almost humanly?
I think that that's a key element that a lot of people don't necessarily take into account, is that they don't know everything, and everything's a learning opportunity. Look at these kids around us, and that's why I love them so much, is every day they learn something new. They pick up a block, and they learn not to smash each other's heads in, Billy!
I thought that was Robin and Will coming and you were yelling at them.
Definitely his dad voice.
I really appreciate what you've taught me today. And actually, I would like to be considered for the job still, because I think I can learn so much not only from you, but the children in this facility.
Facility. That's great to hear. I will let you know that I'm going to take everything you said at the top as part of the interview, though, so...
Absolutely. You always want to take everything into consideration. What is that saying? Leave no stone unflipped?
Sure. Come with me. She leads you past all the kids running around having a good time. One of the kids runs into you, bounces right off your leg, and falls laughing to the floor, which is really spongy. You're not used to this sort of spongy floor you're walking upon. That's an interesting new scenario. And she takes you into an office. It has a window that looks out upon the kids. And she sits down at a desk and gestures to a chair opposite.
I take a seat. I just want to clarify, would you put, so under the lessons, because I only have I am, a superhero should, and always, I feel like I want to use it for always, because there's a good lesson in there.
Learn something new every day.
Sometimes too many things every day.
Always be open to learning.
Kind of an innate part of the book, right? I think we were just referencing the fact that you are always learning new lessons, not that there's necessarily a new lesson gained here.
Okay. That floor was really interesting. It was, I found I couldn't walk properly and I had to lift my legs really high to keep my balance. Is that normal?
Oh, that's our alphabet floor. That's so that the kids don't hurt themselves.
Interesting. Is that why the child fell and laughed instead of fell and cried?
Yes.
Hmm. Human children are interesting.
I don't know what's going on.
What do you want out of this page?
I want a job.
I want XP to work at a daycare.
I can't do anything.
You're in a car.
I am in a cop car. Can I pick my cuffs?
Yes. Pick your cuffs, even though your hands are behind your back, because you are the beacon and you have the moves to pay the bills, so you pick your cuffs and you're now no longer cuffed.
I feel like we take part in an interview, and at the end of the interview, XPay asks Heather,
so outside of the interview, I actually came here for a very specific reason. Do you know anything about a little black box?
And they do the shifty eyes.
What are you trying to get out of this question, this little black box? What are you hoping to achieve? You trying to provoke her into answering your questions? You trying to pierce the mask of this person?
I think trying to pierce the mask, because I do think, as much as XPay's been enchanted by all of the children here, they do recognize that this is the location that they were given. And so they're trying to determine what the connection is between this facility.
All right. Yeah. So your questions get pointed and not necessarily like specific of, hey, you know about the blue black box. So roll to pierce the mask. Roll plus mundane.
So six.
That is not enough.
Well, shit.
Would you like to use teams selfishly?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I feel like this is an opportunity where XPay actually feels like they've got this and they can do this as a human person in this room.
Absolutely. How are you ignoring or insulting your teammates? And please shift your labels up and down. But tell me first, how are you ignoring or insulting your teammates?
Well, I think that one, like, they're not partaking in anything that's going on outside. They didn't help the person that was on the ground. They didn't help Terry when they got arrested. They didn't help, like, they saw someone or George fall to the ground in, like, feeling terrible. They didn't help. So they've just kind of, like, fully abandoned the situation.
Sure. And what does that mean to them?
I think that to them, I'm maybe portraying that I'm more superior to them, so their human problems don't matter to me, so I'm going to continue on with the mission, whether they're there or not.
Okay, so pick someone on the team.
George.
Cool. George, I don't know how, but at some point here, 20 minutes later, I mean, you've gotten out scot-free.
Yeah.
Terry's somehow in a cop car. Yeah. Bo has saved the day. Everyone's defended you from your criminally insane act of destroying this woman's life.
Yeah.
And the life of her family.
Mm-hmm.
And X-Pay walks out of the tot stop, walks right up to you and says,
"Today has been such a fantastic day. That went so good. I got a job and I'm doing hero things."
So George just looks shocked.
And we go back to the scene. You have pierced the mask successfully of this woman. George, please take this into account as your next moment of life, because you're going to need to react to that.
Yeah.
And you've pierced the mask. What would you like to do?
I would like to know what they're really planning.
We are really planning to find the pick of the litter amongst all of these kids and put them into the system.
Oh, Paige knows that doesn't sound great, but I feel like XPay doesn't know that that's not what you would normally do somewhere like this.
This does not seem to match what the intended thing of a tot stop is supposed to be.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're self-defeating your purpose of having found out the Pierce the Mask and you've learned this information. It doesn't seem relevant to you. You have learned and it does not match.
Okay. Well, that doesn't seem right. What do you mean pick from the litter?
Here, let me show you. She gets up to lead you from the room.
And I follow her.
Cool. You go through a dark abyss of blackness. And we turn back to see the next panel is the cop car with lines behind it as it is driving away with Terry Chase inside it? Question mark?
Can I say no? No, I'm not inside it. They are chasing me. I'd like to think I magically got out of the car somehow.
You were already picked your box.
Yeah, so I picked my handcuffs. Oh, I could pick the door. Or no, the doors, they don't have handles on the inside on the back of a cop car.
Look, you're allowed to pick your handcuffs because you are acrobatic and parkour champion. Figure skating king. And if you want to get out of the cop car, you can definitely make your attempt to get out of the cop car.
I'm going to get out of the cop car. In cop cars, there's usually that little screen thing. And there's like a little tiny hole where you can like look through, but there's nothing there.
Okay, why don't you roll to assess the situation?
Oh, I'm going to assess the situation. I'm not going to assess the situation.
That doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't. It looks very, very bad.
So the cop car's lines are coming off of it as Terry Chase drives away. You did not get out of the cop car.
What?
You were not able to assess the situation. And that's Terry's panel. Adora, where are you? What's going on?
I was going to help Terry get out of the cop car after attempting to cheer him up, but not doing well. Where's George?
In the middle of the street being sad. that's where I am.
I guess I'm going to try to cheer George up.
I'm also mad at Paige, too, or I'm mad at X-Pay as well.
George has like a favorite food or something.
All the food.
All right. I got a bag of chips in my backpack.
Okay.
I'm going to pull it out and just hand it to George. Eat your feelings, friend.
Cool. Yeah, they stand there with a bag of chips between them as the cop car drives away and the ambulance drives away and the stroller still sits there in the street with no one around it.
Oh, yeah, we're going to go to the stroller.
Why didn't the ambulance take the stroller?
And that's where we're going to end today's session.
That's like the perfect ending.
It's, that's yeah. Fair. Yeah. No, it's good.
We're dumb.
And as the comic book closes on this particular episode and this particular issue, we will now do our end of session moments here. Chelsea, have you grown closer to the team, grown into your image of yourself, or grown away from the team?
I feel like compared to where I was last time, I've grown closer to the team.
Oh, wow. Okay. Explain this.
Because, first of all, reunited with the team, even if it was under dire circumstances or not great circumstances. And then I sacrificed myself for one of my teammates.
Cool. Give influence to one of your teammates.
I am going to give influence to X-Pay. That's the only one I have left.
Excellent. Yeah. You could have chosen to give influence to Bo or to George, and then they would have allowed them to shift your labels.
Oh, okay.
So, do that?
Just as an option.
Sorry. Yeah. No, I was thinking because they
So it'd make more sense in this context.
I'm going to give influence to George.
Okay. George, you already have influence over Terry. So shift Terry's labels.
Savior's going to go up.
Can't go up.
Oh, well, that would just made the most sense. Just like, for sure. Okay.
Is he really? Why do they keep calling you a savior?
I don't
get it. It's like you're the least savory of everyone.
But he saved me. Right? Because I think from my perspective, he saved me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of both threw him under the bus, but okay.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Savior can't go up, so you get to shift something else instead.
Okay.
And what's going down?
I'm trying to decide between danger and freak. I'm going to go danger goes down.
Cool. So what are you moving up instead of Savior?
I can actually shift my mundane up.
All right. That sounds great. I mean, you did just get dragged off like a regular criminal.
Yeah.
Perfect. So are you going to clear a condition or mark potential?
I am going to clear a condition. Angry.
Perfect. You're less angry. It makes probably a good scenario when dealing with the cops. Being less angry is helpful.
What?
All right, George Grady, the Purple Haze. Have you grown closer to the team, closer to your own image of yourself, or grown away from the team?
Oddly enough, I think grown closer to the team because of their actions.
Who made you feel welcome?
Chase. Terry Chase did.
Terry Chase with his phenomenal, ridiculous defend action. Absolutely. Yeah. Kate, great. It was ridiculous.
Would it was ridiculous, 14, but so. In a good way. So, of course, I would give influence to Terry Chase, but I think I already do.
You're giving influence to Terry?
Yeah.
All right, Terry, shift George's labels since you already have influence over George.
I'm going to shift George's danger up and his savior down.
I mean, I would do that if I could. Are you clearing a condition or are you marking potential?
I'd like to clear a condition. Hopeless. He made me more hopeful.
Excellent. How about you, Adora?
I think I grew closer to the team.
Cool. Who made you feel welcome?
I would say it was George.
All right, George made you feel welcome. Does George have influence over you?
Nope. Here you go.
Excellent. That's great. Are you clearing a condition or marking potential?
I don't have any conditions, so...
Potential it is.
Potential.
Moving on.
I have grown into an image of myself.
I love it. That's great. How do you see yourself?
I see myself more humanly than I did before speaking with this person, as much as they may not be a good person.
Yep.
They have helped me identify with humans on this world.
That's awesome. And so as a result... What labels are you shifting?
My mundane is going up and freak is going down.
That sounds great. And now we are all scattered even further than you were before as we leave this session behind to meet up again and see where else things are going to go and fall apart for our heroes.
Jeez, yeah.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales,
a curated Masks, a new generation game set in the superhero teenage world of Halcyon City.
Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. You can find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or at www.badbillyband.com or follow them on Twitter at Bad Billy Band. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or find us on Twitter at Tavern_Tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.